Blog Talk Radio.
Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. We'd like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about thinkbigradio.com. Have you spread the word today?
Welcome to Ponder This, What is Love? A podcast series discussing and defining the definitions of love with your host, Raven, an advocate of love. Because we are a love lifestyle brand movement. Sit back and enjoy the communal conversation. This show is sponsored by Deep Exposure, the first of its kind content-based directory created for individuals that want to expand and expose their talent, their business, and information about their community service. It is a directory where your voice is heard. Go to deepexposure.com.
Hey, everybody who is in love with life, in love with self, in love. This is Ray Vision, your host of Ponder This, What is Love? I am truly excited about today. This, I couldn't sleep too well last night, I will tell you that. I've been looking for this day, I think, since my time in college. I have been on a journey, and I have finally unlocked a dream, a long time calling, something that's been knocking on my head for years to express what I feel love is. And what it should be. I am an advocate of love. And let me introduce myself as Ray Vision. Most people know me as Corey Rashawn, the owner and founder of WE Productions. But there is another side of me, a spiritual side of me, where I am a visionary, a spiritual visionary. I am an empathic. I'm not going to say empath per se. I do feel the vibrations of people and have been able to speak into their lives in many ways and many facets, not your traditional way. One experience, I was actually in Alabama in an IHOP, and the waitress, I just felt something from her and asked her if she had a daughter. I mean, I was afraid to, and this is the thing about my life. I've been afraid to expose myself, especially as a younger child growing up in a Christian household. I was told that certain things were sinful, and so it took me some time to be comfortable with my abilities to speak into people's lives based on the messages that I was getting from source or from God or whatever you call your higher power, and having that ability and being free to deliver that message to those people. You know, when you are a messenger, and sometimes those messengers got killed, and I didn't want to be one of those, so I feared it because of what I was taught. But at this time, a couple of years ago, I'm in this IHOP, and this woman, beautiful, Caucasian woman, and I just felt something from her, and I asked her, you know, finally, I was dating somebody at the time. She's like, go ahead, just ask. And I did. And I said, you know, do you have a daughter? And oh my God, this woman, she backed up a little bit and was, do you know her? I'm like, one, I don't even know you. I said, no, I don't know her. But, and she commenced to tell me the story that her daughter was married with two sons. 10 years within her marriage, she had gotten on some drugs, heroin, and left the family, and just walked out, and probably due to her drug abuse, and she So I said, well, you know, I have a gift. I'm blessed with a gift. And I said, I don't know where she's at, but I feel that she is still on this earth. And so I'm giving you that message. And she had said, you know, we had given up searching for her. And maybe that was for me, for her, to pick up the reins again and start looking for her daughter, at least inquiring for, you know, about her daughter. And I'm hoping that she went home to her husband and, of course, probably shared the story and shared the story with the family. But, you know, those type of things have happened to me. And the more that I get in tune with myself, the more that I allow myself to be, the more of these type of things happen. And I'm blessed. And I think we all are blessed with some type of talent, some type of ability that is beyond this realm of earth. And so Ponder This has been something that I've been doing since college. I've been writing and asking people subconsciously to open up their minds to who they are. Because when you can live authentically yourself, then you are living the desired life that you actually came here to live, and that's what I believe. And so What Is Love is an introduction of sorts. I mean, I did Ponder This last year on Think Big Radio, and I definitely want to thank Kim Blake for this platform. I brought it out with Nefri Amini, and we had some awesome conversations. And now I'm opening up the door to do this, and let's discuss what love is. In my heart of hearts, I feel that we are not loving. We're not loving genuinely, purely, completely. That we are in search of something inside of ourselves that we think is external. And this is an ability to talk about it. We all love differently. We all love different ways. But really, are we loving? What is love? That is the question. And today, I have Amina Carter on, and I'm going to bring her on in a few minutes. An awesome, beautiful, spirited woman. I see that in her. I see greatness in her. And I cannot wait to have this conversation with her. But before we start, a part of the segment of our show, which I came up with the other day, is to serenade. So because this is a platform of being me, I'm going to start this series of these next 3 months with actually showing people who I am. People have seen parts of me, not all of me, so I'm going to allow this platform to allow all of me to come out. I've been writing poetry since the age of 15, and a lot of it has to do with love. Women are a muse for me. I love the spirit of women. If people knew. So I'm taking a part of me and extending it to you through my serenades here. And so this is just one of the serenades that I'm going to start with, and then we'll bring Amina Carter on, and we'll have the conversation on what is love.
I am the I am, pure and simple, easy and supple. I am the vibration that exists in all. I am the beginning and the end. I am the being that begets the human. I am the source of life, the existence of all that is. I am the flow of joy and peace. I am, through me, the laws of life. I roam the earth seeking and searching for no one. For I am internal. I am the one. I am wisdom and the expansion of life. I am the abundant and full of life. I bring no pain. I bring no fear. I bring no insecurities. And I bring no anguish. I do not break. I do not tarnish or fade. I do not call you out of your name, and I do not strike or criticize. I am the meaning of life. I am the verb of life. I am the existence of life. I am not feeling, but an energy of life. I am the meaning of life. I am the verb of life. I am the existence of life. I am not a feeling, but an energy of life. I am your passion. I am your desire. I am your want. I am your need. I am that which your heart houses, your mind seeks, and your body stores. I am that which is internal. I am love.
All right. Hey, I hope everybody enjoyed that. I am now, the doors are open for conversation. Amina S. Carter, how are you this morning?
I am great. How are you?
I'm going to always say right now, I'm excited. I am on fire right now. I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling good.
So that's awesome.
Thank you. Could you do this for us? Could you introduce yourself and let people know who you are?
Surely. My name is Amina S. Carter. I am a personal transformation strategist, a speaker and trainer. I'm focusing on specifically on women, really how to amplify their magic, simply put.
In a
world that tries to, you know, that we are increasingly more aware that we are in fact magical. So I love to kind of that's the brief version.
Awesome. Well, again, I welcome you to the show, and I kind of want to start this conversation off. We're going to have three segments. Since this is the first show, I'm going to let people know that we'll have three segments, which is kind of like the past, the lesson, and the future, or the current state of where we are in love. But let me ask you this. When I asked you to be a part of this show, what was one of the first things you thought about?
Well, because it was an extension, if you recall, we were actually on the other show, and we didn't get to get as much content in as we on the Deep Exposure. We didn't get as much content in. So I remember, like, ooh, there was some really juicy parts. So it was exciting. I was excited. And love is a very widely discussed topic. People's positions in on it and around it are complicated at times and different. And so I thought it to be a very appropriate topic to discuss. When is love a not appropriate topic to talk about? But exploring it in the way that you wanted to explore it was very, it spoke directly to me, what I do, how to really approach it from a definitely a more spiritual, energetic perspective. Because sometimes, I mean, it's an age-old question. What is it? You know, many of the conversations that you hear about it, these are not new conversations. How they evolve with the times is going to be different as well. So I was excited to participate. I was like, ooh, this is in my wheelhouse. I love it.
Okay, cool. So let's go back a little further in your life a little bit. And how and what did you learn about love growing up?
Ooh, that's juicy. interesting. So growing up, I was definitely young. I was in New York, right? I'm originally from New York City. I was born in New York City. So being in New York with my family at that particular point, so I was very young. I moved to D.C. when I was 5 years old. But there's, I think, the discovery of and the acknowledgement, oh, this is what it is, right? I think first memories are definitely going to be, of course, are going to be familial. Those are those are your first relationships. You know, if you are with your parents or whomever your first loving experiences are coming into the world. So, but I think becoming aware of it was definitely sensory. I mean, you know what I mean? It's definitely more of a feeling because you're not, you know, as a young child, when you first become aware, you're doing it through your senses, how it looks, how it tastes, how it feels, right? And so remembering, I think, the first my first understanding was definitely based off of what feels good, right? Not just good, but
right.
There was being able to process that from a child mind is going to be very simple. It's going to be very black and white. This feels good.
Yeah.
This does not, right?
Right.
So I know that's, you know, sounds really basic, but I think that's kind of how we come in with it. And then there's, as I explained kind of in the blurb, there's an evolution of it,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it is such an ongoing process. So answering it one way would definitely leave me in only one space because it's so ever-changing, you know?
Mm-hmm. But
I
like what you said.
Mm-hmm.
I like what you said because I really feel that basic element that you mentioned, like it's a feeling, like okay, this feels good, you know, and this doesn't
right.
feel good.
Right.
And as children, that is so genuine to us because, one, we really don't come in with the verbal skills right away.
Right.
To say, hey,
right.
you know, this right here, you know.
It's
and
not
so,
working for me.
You know,
this is not working for me. Right.
Right. Right. So that internalized, I mean, without the voice, everything is internalized, which is kind of interesting.
Right.
But
yes.
Continue because I'd like to see where this goes.
Well, interestingly, so to the point of saying that it is somewhat black and white, you know, this is how it feels. But not only just how it feels, I think taking that a step further is what also, it's not just a feeling. There's a level of safety and security in it, you know. So it's just not, you know, there because especially as children, we are, I think that we unlearn our intuition almost. Children are hyper-aware,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
When they're very young, they are very intuitive. They're very conscious of energy and things that are happening around them. They don't have bills. They don't have things. They don't have anything to focus on. There's no score. There's nothing
right.
to do but tune in to what's going on. So, in saying that, I say that to say that is the first navigation of them of learning to trust. They have to intuit it in a different way. They can't convey it in words, so they have to feel it.
Yeah.
So I think there's a level of going back to some of those very early ways of doing that and tuning back in that way, in that direction, rather than our grown-up, you know, space. Because, of course, those experiences and things begin to color as we get older. The experiences that we have, good, bad, and indifferent, begin to influence certain things, and then you have to get back to some basics to kind of reevaluate that is
right.
again.
Right. True. What are some of the things that you love to do as a younger person?
As an older person?
As a younger person, what were some of the things that you loved to do that you felt like you were authentically being you in that moment?
Oh. Oh, as a younger person that I love to do. Well, definitely. For me, anything that allowed me to be in an arena that was expressive. So I was very much a person who I grew up, you know, dancing. You know, from young, being in little plays, I remember doing music. I played the violin, and so there. I think I had multiple opportunities, especially as a young girl, to be in front of people, and realizing that it wasn't. I think there's a combination because even at a young age, you realize that the things that you want, you learn the things that you want, and you create opportunities to have those things, even from young. So if there is a level of understanding that there's somehow you're being fed by being in front, whatever that is, whether it's attention, whether it's acceptance, whether you think it's validation, any of those things in a child's mind. That, ooh, they love
right.
this. Ooh, I do this well. This gives me, this makes people respond to me in a particular type of way, you know, in the positives and how we associate acceptance and how we associate joy and happiness.
Right.
And so in that vein, we just begin to love those things.
Right. Do you think that we gain that learning of acceptance through our community or our home environment or society? Or a combination of all?
I was going to say, there. What has more impact, I think, is a different angle of the question, right? So in the sense that when I'm a baby, right, the influences are going to be different than when I become a toddler. What I'm exposed to and how I measure that is going to be different.
Right. Because so, based on our development and our experiences, actually.
Right. So the impact of learning acceptance. So say, for example, as a child, you know, what is accepted, you know, where you won't belong. So if I tell you that the stove is hot and if you touch it, you get burned, right? Mm-hmm. Learning since in that way, right? Mm-hmm. And if you understand that, if I tell you, you understand by my tone of voice, you understand about the stance, they begin to understand energy. There's no smile. There's nothing warm there. I am reprimanding you, right? So that behavior is not it. So
right.
I think what ends up happening is you learn energetically from hearing tones and pitches and facial expressions that when the energy is welcoming, it's like, yes, you did that right. Then you learn how to clap, and they do the, yay, I did it. I'm proud of myself, right? So we begin to see children in that way from young, and they learn reward systems and what's accepted and what's not accepted, even the sense of how they interact in their world. So that's at that age, then as you grow, you know, whether it's from when you're a teenager and you're beginning to do that, the peer pressure thing and how you fit and what that looks like, then to adulthood. I mean, so I'm saying that all of this is very evolutionary. You know, there's no one particular place that you ever stay planted for a finite amount of time. It's just like, are you going to be here? And that is not defined when you move. You know, some people think the evolution, I should be here by this time and it should look like this. Those things are going to be determined individually from person to person, because our experiences are going to be very different. And how those experiences color how we view us, ourselves and the world that we are in, and how we interact with it. Also, how it interacts with us as a result of what we put out.
And that's a learning lesson within itself. You know, a lot of people
for sure
have to grow into learning just that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, mm-hmm. you know, I don't have to compare myself to the next person. You know, okay, they got a Maserati and a mansion. You know, I'm still here.
Right.
But, you know, that going back to self and, hey, what do I need to do to gain, you know, you know, what it is that I want, and everybody's goal is different. You know, their goal might have been to do something totally different, or to reach something different than you.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's why I really don't even believe in judgment. We can't judge anybody, because you really don't know where they want to end their life. You know, some people are content. You know, look, I'll never forget, I was out on the street and I was walking by a homeless person. I had some extra food and I was offering it to him. And
mm-hmm.
he's like, no. I'm like, are you sure? Because I'm thinking, you're not going to eat in the next minute, but I really don't know. Maybe he was full from something that somebody else had already given him. And so, you know, in that moment, you know, when you think someone else may need, they may not.
Right.
And the same goes to knowing, you know, that person has a whole plan for themselves. Why am I worried and concerned about them and where they are and my, you know, me competing, you know, on myself? You know, I would like to have those type of things. But then when you get them, it's amazing when you strive for somebody else's goal, and when you get that, you're like, oh, I didn't want all this. I didn't know this came with this. You know. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's interesting, and I think being young and thinking back to my days of growing up, there's always that comparison, you know, who's the prettiest, who's the strongest, who's got this and who's got that. And, you know, especially in our teenage years, you know, that comparison type of thing. And us asking our parents, well, I want these shoes and I want this, and I want that for the next week to be a whole new different thing. You know, we're going and exploring ourselves in a sense. But, you know, my mother always said, you know, you must be the leader. You've got to lead. You've got to lead, you know, be the leader of yourself. But, you know, I wasn't taking that to heart at that time. It probably took me till age 30. to really get it. But it was always in the back of my head, and that's the beautiful thing about parents or grandparents, or sometimes they're giving you wisdom, and it does sit there in the back of your head, but you've got to learn lessons to really grasp what those what they actually meant, because I think experience teaches more so than words do. In saying everything that you said, it goes back to where love, the loving of ourselves, has to be learned. And I think that society, family, culture as well, plays a part in our development of, you know, really, especially at a younger age, in knowing what love is, and as you coming into this world, because I think we are vibrationally high and in tune, and when we start bringing in words and we start bringing in rules and regulations, I think that's why the 2-year-old is so warrior-like. No, you're taking something away from me.
They are.
You know, and it's that time when they have to adjust to, you know, the world around them. That freedom, in a sense, isn't always available to you.
Right.
You know, because you can't get hurt, and on this earth there's a thing called gravity. So, so that's interesting. Very interesting.
Right.
I want to remind, before we continue on, I want to remind people that they can call in if you have a question, if you have a comment. Comments are welcome here. Please call in to 909-232-9222. This is Ponder This, What is Love? And we're speaking with Amina S. Carter this morning. Before I get to my next question, unless you had something else to say, did you have anything to say
No, go ahead.
Okay. Before we get to our next segment, like I said, people can call in, join the conversation. This is a communal conversation. The reason why I kind of say it's communal, because I'm hoping people are sitting down, eating, and enjoying themselves. I believe over food there's great conversations to be had. And so because this is Saturday morning, you know, I'm hoping people are having their breakfast,
coffee is
drinking their tea,
muffins,
their coffee,
and
their
all manner of amazing breakfast.
Is that it again?
No, I said yes. Coffee is being had, muffins are being passed, all manner of.
Okay, awesome. Well, while you're doing that, I'm going to play my second serenade, and then we'll move into the next question.
You are a seed. You are a seed that is planted in my heart. There is a chlorophyll that is flowing through me like blood flows through my veins. I'm absorbing your light, and it fills me with love. I am growing roots that are anchoring me, and the leaves are spreading within me. I feel the trunk of your body pressing from within. I know that it is you. It is your essence of grace and beauty that lives within me. I stand upright because of your likeness to me. A reflection of you that beams from God to me. I am in a place of admiration as I feel you inside me grow from nurturing my love for you. You are a tree rooted in the earth of our existence. I am the shell that protects you from the elements of life. You are safe here with me. Plant your love in my heart, knowing that you will fill me, and I will water you every day with love, respect, and a peace of mind. But the greatest of these will be my love.
All right. That was your seed. I wrote that for a special lady in my life at the time. And I hope she's listening, actually, and recognizes these. But most of my poetry will be coming from women that were my muse. And so that was just one of them. All right, we're back with Amina Carter. My second question to you is, what do you think you've learned from your experience when it comes to the subject of love?
That's a loaded question. What did you learn?
Okay. All right, now.
I mean, because how many lessons? Listen, we can just get people to start writing on walls what the lessons are. We can go on forever and ever and ever.
Right.
One of the most important, though, is that for me to remember, one of the things to focus is always remembering that love is always present, whether or not it's present in someone else in my space, but it is always present within me. And that when there feels like there is lack of it, when it feels like it is that someone has taken it from me, when I feel void of that kind of energy in my space, I always remember that I have a well, an endless well that was poured into me from many different spaces, and that so there's never a shortage. There is never a space in which I can't connect, even if it's within, that there's never any lack in that area. And so that it is not a thing to seek externally per se. Right, it just is, and it is always. And so that finding and or unlearning and remembering, right, or unlearning and relearning what and redefining what and how we identify love as an energy, love as a state of being, love as a place to return to, love as anchor. Like, so when you are navigating your ways, one of the things, again, that holds true and that I that has been an ultimate lesson up until this point is knowing that I always have an endless supply and that there's always a way to tap into it, even when all feels lost, right? So.
Right. Did you? Because that's a journey of knowing.
It is.
To really get to that space, you know, I'm, you know, working on that.
Right.
It seems like now daily than it was before, because you've actually got to get to a space of knowing that. How did you kind of tap into that knowing?
Listen, there's a lot of falling. There's a lot of failing. And listen, that's like all the F's, a lot of falling, failing, and fear, right?
I like that. Yeah, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
If you don't get scraped up a little bit in figuring it out, if you don't fail at it, if there are not levels of, if you are not reticent at some point, if you are not scared out of your mind at some point of any number of things that people are scared of, being too vulnerable, getting hurt, you know, any manner of things that whole the whole love thing brings up for people. When you know, and that's a deep piece. So being able to be bruised in a way. You have to hurt a certain type of way. You have to learn through trial and error in the space to kind of create, recreate, rediscover, and discover again the things that that are going to bring you back to a space of loving.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Love, of
right.
loving, of feeling love, of understanding love, of defining love. It is all evolutionary. And the thing is it can come full circle and then it starts all over. Right?
You go
you know, and then that there's different situations in life are going to call us into, are going to command us to show up in different ways, or going
yeah.
to command us to either, you know, we rise us up, you know, calling us to rise higher, to grow, push us where we are standing way too still. There's just going to be different instances in which you're going to call different parts of yourself to the center of your
mm-hmm.
life and
mm-hmm.
to figure out how you're going to navigate, right?
Right.
And it's a journey.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So when we try to finite this thing, what is love, you know, we will sit here until the end of time. People have been asking the question, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
you know, for
yeah.
me it's currency. It's the currency.
I love that. I love that. I woke up with. I think I even did a Facebook Live on that because I my meditation, my favorite meditation space is in the shower. Sorry
mm-hmm.
for the visual, everybody, but it is there. In water, period, that I connect with source. And in a meditative state, I
that's
came
my
to...
Place.
Yeah, 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 it's a beautiful space to be. To a place where I realized that love is
mm-hmm.
the greatest currency you can ever
mm-hmm.
carry or have. You know, money,
mm-hmm.
cars, homes, those are just tools to your desires in life, but the greatest
yes.
currency to carry is love, and to have
and think
love,
about
and
that.
To give is love.
Mm-hmm. And I was just going to say, and think about the word currency. So, like, the first thing that I think
mm-hmm.
is like the root of hearing that is current. Current is
right.
energy, how it moves,
exactly.
ebb and flow, frequencies. Right. So, how you are, what levels of love are you vibrating on, right? And sometimes, listen, sometimes we get real low.
Oh, yeah.
Today I'm low. In the sense, and when I, and not to contradict what I say, because it doesn't mean there is an absence of it.
Right.
What it does mean is that you have not either tapped in, tuned in, or remembered
right.
that it exists.
Right.
So
right.
when I say I'm low right. on it, that I have not returned to source or recalled the source enough to bring me out of a certain particular situation, so that I
exactly.
can be higher on the channel, right?
Right, right, right.
Get back connected where we need to be.
Right.
So I
right.
say that some days it's like, listen, I'm low. My love level's a little low today.
Right. You might not want
to
get too close.
To right. right, or that I forget, and that whatever that in whatever situation it is that it seems in lack, like I said before, is that, you know, we don't always win, you know, and the journey is getting on the path, getting off it, getting back on, but always knowing that there is one, and that how and the ability to remember more swiftly, so that you have less casualties, you have less fallout, you have less forgetting.
Yeah.
Of the power and its existence and its ever presence, omnipresence in our lives, you know. So,
yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
omnipresence, omnipotence, because that speaks to the power of it, like all of that. So,
exactly.
And
even our wording has to be changed so that we can actually stay on that path
right.
of knowing. You know, it's how we speak into our lives. I believe in karma. And the karma is a vibration as well. And it's a verbal vibration, because if you are in a moment where, yes, you're low on love, and then you start
mm-hmm.
speaking about how low you are, right?
Mm-hmm,
when you continue
mm-hmm.
to realm in that, or wade, let's say you wade, since we both like water, you wade. It's only at the ankle, it's only ankle deep. But
mm-hmm.
if you start speaking and changing your language, because that's what I do now, that's one of my tools, is that when I'm low and I start thinking in a direction that I know that's taking me away from the vibration of being high, I have to stop. And I make myself turn around. It's like, no, where are we now? What do you currently have that you can say you feel good in this moment? And
mm-hmm.
I start thinking about, you know, where I'm blessed. And actually the word thankful, you know, I'm grateful, or I now say more thankful than grateful, learned something very interesting, that grateful reminds you of where you used to be. And I am so not about the past. I'm so about the current.
Mm-hmm.
And so not bring a little bit of that past information into thought, right? I now say I'm thankful for whatever it is. You know, I could be looking at, you know,
right.
a pen. Oh, I'm thankful for having this pen. I'm thankful for having this computer. I'm thankful for having this phone right now. You know,
right.
I'm thankful. And then in that starts to lift your spirits up, because you realize what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And being raised in the Christian faith, you know, it's, you know, the aspect of a mustard seed, and what does, and
right.
actually any seed, what does that grow into?
Right.
You know, but either
and,
a beautiful flower,
of how
or a beautiful tree.
Based off of how you, yeah, but think about seeds, because they, how they grow are going to be contingent on how you feed them, right?
All right. You dropped the mic with me on that one. Yes, you're right. I like that. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
the thing about
yeah.
them. They, there is a number of different, I guess, ways people have tested this. The energetics, and especially as it pertains to growth and life thereof, right? So even in there, did an experiment with a plant, right? So you seed and pot a plant, but with one plant, they spoke negatively to the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the other one, they said positive things to it, encouraging and whatever. And so
mm-hmm.
based off, it put them in the same place, but feeding them very differently. And the impacts
wow.
of that, you know, and how it grew, how the rate at which it grew, if it grew, since it not the same, you know, without flourishing, no budding of flowers, no, you know. So it stunts the natural capabilities, the natural processes of our growth when it's stunted in that way, which is, you know, listen, I have a growing, boisterous, very smart 10-year-old boy. And prime example, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing, I won't say, you know, we all have things that grow us up, right?
Right,
he is,
right.
He is the catalyst for my growth and the challenger of all the places in which I need to grow.
Okay,
so
good.
I said
yeah,
that.
That's how it works.
Right. Right. But think about how fertile the space, you know, children's minds and creating experiences for them that I still have to be mindful of, right? That, you know, he's still in a space where he's growing up, and how I feed him and how I feed him. You know, the moments where he challenges every bone in my body, that being mindful that, you know, this is still, you know, I have to still be mindful of how I am pouring in
yeah.
this space to this being, too, and how that will impact his ability, too, right? To
right.
love, and what love will look like for him, and even how to manage adversity, because I'm not always the best. I don't win every day.
Right,
and
right, right.
Do that, but the idea of knowing that being in spaces and places that support, you know, healthy ways and returning to your own levels of understanding of what love is and how to tap into your own well of it, it's going to be paramount in, you know, creating experiences in your life that are going to be and lend to mastery of certain areas that increase the quality of your life.
True. true. I know that I have a godson. I don't have children of my own. But as he was growing up, I would keep him on certain weekends. And very interesting, you're right about certain challenges, because he was an adult at the age of 8, 9, and 10. This young man just had a mind that was deep. He was a Sagittarius, or he is, he's still alive. He's a Sagittarius and a father of three right now. But I found with him, because I even when he was two, you know, I always treated him as if he was an adult for some reason. Maybe I just picked up on his spirit as being an old spirit. But I remember we had a situation, and I always made him, he was beating up some kids, or he got into a fight on the playground because somebody had lied to him, and he had some issues in his life about, you know, parental issues about being, say, called a liar. So he took it out on the field, you know, with his friends. But I always made him, when he ever came with a problem, I made him question his actions. Because I wanted him to go inside and say why he did what he did. Do you know why? Do you even have an inkling? Of course, me living longer, I can see it and I can understand it. But I wanted him to go inside and see if he could find his reason. You know, and if he didn't say no, then I would coach him to think about what's going on in your circle, what's going on in your life that you have to lash out, because that's what you thought you had to do. But things could, and then being young and, you know, again, not having a voice to speak up or to speak out to your parents, you know, I was the, even when we did the contract of the godfather situation, you know, I said, I will always be the unspoken or the unspoken voice of the parent. Like, I'd be the parent, but more the friend. I always told him, you can talk to me about anything, lash out, talk back, blah, 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 be respectful, but, you know, to me, so that I would know what's going on inside of his mind and report back to the parent some things. Because I said I would never break my trust with him. But I will clue you in if there's something that you need to address. I definitely will clue you in. So, a lot of these, and, you know, I wonder with a lot of the children today, and just having so much access, you know, the access then, you know, you're talking about 20-something-odd years ago?
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Because he's 25, 26, somewhere in there. So, yeah, I'm 6, 7, 8. You know, to now, you know, with all of this news, all of these stories, and, you know, the world has opened its almost like its guts up to where you have access to anything and everything at such at an age where you're still developing and trying to find who you are.
Exactly.
And so how do you, you know, my thing is, and, you know, in a sense, this platform for the show, I'm hoping that families can chime in and listen to some of the discussions that are being had, because who is, like you said, it's an age-old question, but who is talking about love to our children, talking about internal discovery to our children, in terms of in the masses? You are. And that's a beautiful thing. And we need more of that. We need more of that. You know,
we do.
We really
I was
do.
Just telling recently, really going into when to pick up my son from school. And I was speaking to the administrators. They were telling me an incident that had gone down with him and another one of the students on the basketball court. And I was like, you know, there needs to be, and listen, sometimes, especially in public schools, you are talking to walls because, and the people that you are talking to are walls. They can't, they're not the people who are making the changes. It is much higher up than them. However, the frustration is on the ground for the parents. And but I was just saying this to say really teaching certain types of curriculum that are actually helpful life skills for children in the schools, from identifying these such things, behaviors, helping them to even navigate conversations that engage that question. What do you think love is? Is this a loving act? Is this how you should treat someone else? Is, you know, there are basics that you can continue to nurture that children spend more of the time during their years going to school in the beginning.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
They spend 8 hours a day in a classroom, and that's less time in the home. So even though there's, you know, I'm providing structure and information and pouring in a certain way, when they begin to socialize at that age, they learn more from their peers. They really do. And those are the people that they're interacting with. So, you know, these things definitely, to your point about, you know, where are people learning these things or not having these conversations? And because some people think that it's just an understood thing, you know, I know to the listeners and to you, Corey, that we've all heard, you know I love you. Like, you know what I mean? You know I do.
Right.
Without
right.
even exploring, well, how do you know what love looks like to me? Because let's have a
right.
conversation
That's,
about the many different languages
right.
of love that people speak, right? So
right.
what it looks like to you and for you may not be what it looks like to or for someone else. And so to that, you know, to that, it is upon, I guess the burden is on each of us to make sure that we can say adequately to people in our lives what love looks like for us so that you can speak
right.
in a language that I understand.
Right.
right? Because it doesn't matter.
Right. And in your current state, don't speak what you want love to be if you're not there in love yourself. And that's a testimony in my relationships. Hopefully one of my shows will talk about relationships. But my thing is I love the aspect of honesty.
Yeah.
And I think love... I've never had an issue. One, a lot of people say I wear my heart on my sleeve. And I'm like, that's fine, because you can see it. I'm not
right.
lying to you. I'm not showing up as someone else. I'm showing up as me.
Right.
I'm vulnerable in every relationship, and people are like, how do you do that? Why do you do that? Because it's me. It's who I am. I'm giving you my truth. I'm not hiding. So that in 3 months, you're like, who the hell are you? So you saw me coming in.
Right.
You saw
right,
me coming in.
Right.
This is where I'm at. This is what I'm doing. This is where
beginning.
I want to go.
Right.
You know, and if you want to share that journey with me, because that's what relationships are to me, is nothing but share. We share our lives with so many people. I'm not trying to own anybody. I'm just trying to share with somebody. And
right.
And I'm hoping you're willing to share with me, and let's be authentic in it and have fun. You know, we have these moments, and I guess I'm getting into that third question or the third segment. You know, where are we now when it comes to love? I'm here, you know, and this is me. I am human. You know, I am spiritual, and I try to be more spiritual than human. But this is where I'm at. And when I fall, I want, you know, to be held and to be comforted. But I'm not
right.
going to blame you for where I'm at. I just got to figure out where I am and where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just need to talk or need to express or whatever. You know, I'll get back on my platform and I will do the same for you, you know.
Right.
And so where are you currently at when it comes to love? I mean, I love what you said in your description. Oh, my God. Amina, you were blowing me away, not only on the radio, but prior to. You know, a revolutionary journey, you said, for you.
Yes.
In the season of love.
And both
could
iterations
you,
of
you,
the word. And go ahead. I'm sorry. I was just going to say
no, go ahead. No,
please. And revolutionary, as I put it in the blurb about, you know, kind of what my piece is on that. And I can do the simple current state for me is, if love is not being served, then I'm not sitting at the table.
Mm-hmm.
So that
wow.
as a way of living, as a measurement for the things that are happening in my life, And I know you're going to have Veronica on soon. And she taught me about toleration, just what that means. She has this specific thing that she did that I participated in multiple times called Toleration Blitz. And it really was figuring out these things that you are putting up with that are actually blocking your ability to be successful, to excel, and master certain areas of your life. And so it was very interesting because that's the way in which I can measure some of the things that are happening. Okay, why are you engaged here? What is the chaos reading from? What is it trying to show you? Are you a part of it? Are you contributing part of it? So it keeps perspective for me. You know, currently it's a way for me to manage what is happening in my life, especially energetically, because that is the language that I speak. Are you bilingual? Yes, I speak energy and English.
There you go. There you go. Love it.
Those are my two E's. So in that regard, I think it makes me more aware, right? Of people and what they're bringing. Because ultimately, we are moving, as you said. You said, I'm a human being, but I'm also spiritual. And as you may have heard before, that we are actually spiritual beings having a spiritual experience, right? So we are of spirit in the flesh, is the physical part of it. But that's just how we're moving. So it's primarily what's happening. I think to some of the point that you were making before in terms of where we are collectively is that people operate more in the human space than the spiritual space. They tapped in more to that part of being in the world. Growing up, I learned you can be in the world, but you don't have to be of the world.
Of the world, exactly. Well, yeah, Vina, we got to close it out. I mean, this was a beautiful conversation. Again,
well,
I feel like
you.
We need more time. Do I need to bring this to an hour and a half? I don't. So it was great having you on. Where can people find more information about you?
Yes, I'm really excited. And happy Women's History Month to all of the women who are listening. We are actually in the last month of the first quarter, so I'm always into smashing goals. So let's get it done, ladies. Woo! Okay. That was my first thing.
Okay. Cool.
So where to find me? You will find me celebrating all month, Women's History Month, at all my social media platforms are Amina S. Carter. I'm at Amina S. Carter, or you can go to my website, www.aminacarter.com. And definitely, we're coming out this month. I'm really looking to serve a whole lot more women this year than I did last year. I'm always looking to top myself because I'm my only competition.
Okay, I love that. Okay.
But really looking to serve women and helping them identify and amplify their own personal magic. I think really understanding and talking about what you're talking about is really tapping into the love factor, right? What is it that you love to do? What feelings do you love to have? How are you creating that in the world so that you also receive it, but you also have to put it out? So how are you contributing to the very life that you are looking to create? So, yeah, just tap in. I'm out here in the social media streets. Again, Amina, you can at me. All the time at Amina S. Carter. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter. And I'm just really excited about 2018. I think, as you know, Corey, energetically there's a lot of shift happening, and I think these conversations are definitely important. But because of what's happening, how big and grand it is, especially, that there's not a lot of room for not being present energetically. You really need to be we need to be collectively a lot more astute in terms of what's going on and what it is looking to teach us about what's happening and what is about to happen. Because the revolution is, I said before, the poem, the revolution will not be televised. Some of it's on the TV.
Yeah, some of it is.
But it's not all there. And so we also and why I said love is revolutionary, that we have to be our own evolution and revolution. So we get to create the revolution.
It was great. We got 5 seconds. It was great to have you on. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. All right.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.